Welcome to The Read-Along,
a mini book club for your ears.
A proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network.
Locally grown, community supported.
I'm your host, Scott.
I'm your other host, Anita.
And join us on a journey through a good book,
one chapter at a time.
Hosted by Todd Hirsch, ATB Financial's Vice President and Chief Economist, The Future of Podcast has launched its third season. By connecting with industry leaders to uncover what's on the horizon for things that mean the most to you, The Future of Podcast promises to give you insights to help navigate what is often an uncertain future. Explore how our economy and communities can not only brace for change, but embrace the opportunities it creates. Subscribe to The Future of in the Apple Store, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are found, or connect with them at atb.com/The Future of. When is the last time you found yourself unexpectedly in charge? You weren't in charge, and then suddenly you're in charge.
Oh, it's an embarrassing story, though. It was my cousin's wedding, and it wasn't that I was put in charge. I saw things starting to fall apart, and I kind of took charge.
Still kind of counts.
I saw things like, oh, no one has organized this. Oh, no one is doing X. Oh, okay, I'll do it. Because I want this to go well, because it's my cousin. And I love him.
Yeah. It has happened to me a couple times recently, in fact. But one that particularly sticks out is back when I was working in retail at a local board game store. And the owner had actually gone away, like abroad, on a trip with family. And the store was more or less minding itself, but then had a break-in.
I remember that.
I was kind of in a position suddenly, me and the other most senior person, where we had to make decisions, like, because we were ostensibly the people in charge at that moment. And when I say break-in, I don't mean like someone looted the store, but some drunken people like smashed some windows and stuff. It was vandalism more than a break-in, but still,
yeah, we were kind of broken.
Yeah, we were kind of in a position where we were like, oh, we have to make like command level decisions because the actual person in charge is not here to deal with.
There is an entire ocean between us and the owner, so we need to do something about this.
Yeah, well, it worked out in the end, but that feeling where you're suddenly like, oh no, I have to do the thing.
Oh, I'm in charge of the thing? This is well above my pay grade. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of where our protagonists, or certainly one of our protagonists, is finding themselves as we get into this chapter.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah. But before we get into that, a brief recap of Chapter 5, in which we get a little flashback explaining the relationship, complicated relationship, between Raina and Morvan. We get a little more texture in what's going on in Pollux and Raina's day-to-day today. And then Sorrel finally goes up to the bridge where he discovers something pretty terrible. And that leads us into Chapter 6 of Screams from the Void by Anne Tibbetts. So we were wondering at the end of last chapter if Sorrel manages to actually alert the crew. Good news.
He does.
He does.
Hooray.
In fact, this chapter more or less starts out with that alert going off, because it kind of begins with Raina watching Morvan leave, hating to see him go, but happy to see him leave, if you catch what I'm meaning. She catches herself looking at his muscular buttocks.
Yes.
And actually feels pretty gross about it.
And rightly so. I would feel gross about it, too.
And he totally knows that she's doing it, too, which is just, it makes it worse. It makes it worse.
All right. I made a quick note here before I had finished the chapter of something I had noted. She's decontaminating these suits, but she is just now getting to it, to like finishing the job.
Yeah.
Is it bad that these undecontaminated suits have just been sitting there for half an hour?
Possibly.
Maybe more. That could be really bad.
Yeah,
right?
But
maybe it's nothing. I don't know.
Here's the thing. She was going to do it, and then Osric chewed her out, and she walked away from it, and then Osric didn't bother to do it himself.
No. And she knew she had to go back to it because it was still her job to do, because again, trapped on a spaceship. So she's now getting back to it way later.
I'm under the impression she has completed it, though, at this juncture.
Yeah, now.
I'm just saying, Osric also could have finished the job, and he didn't.
No,
so.
He didn't. But we've all established that Osric is a terrible, hateful person.
Oh, yeah. No, he in trouble, actually. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
Reyna also notices Pollux, like, heading to the shower with a towel, looking just haggard and blistery.
And then we find out that the decontamination room is also the bathroom. So this spaceship is fun.
Well, that kind of tracks to me a little bit because your basic decontamination room is going to have like a shower and stuff in it, right?
It makes sense,
to get yourself cleaned off. And if you're in a smaller starship and you're trying to make the most economical use of space, just also make that the head, right?
Yeah, no.
Then all your water is going to one place.
I agree. It makes sense. Like, this is the water closet. And when you're in space, you need the water closet to do a bunch of different things. It wouldn't surprise me if it was also the laundry room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just another dimension of this spaceship that is totally irrelevant for the rest of the chapter.
But it really underscores how unpleasant life on a spaceship.
Right, and snug.
Probably is.
Right?
Yeah, it's like living on a submarine, right? It's
not
great.
Anyway.
As the three of them are doing their business here, suddenly, at long last, the yellow alert flicks to red. And Sorrel comes over the intercom and is like, oh, God, there's monsters and the captain is dead.
He doesn't say that. He does say foreign biological, which is, monsters.
Then cuts out because he's dead. And everybody takes a moment, like, Pollux drops her towel and Reyna and Morvan both exchange a look and everybody's like,
oh, no.
What do we do? And Pollux is like, okay, following procedure, everyone to the armory now. Because this isn't the first time people in space have encountered monsters in space.
No. Pollux, being at the very least the ranking officer in the room.
Yeah, is like, let's go. We're going to the armory.
And I think Reyna foolishly is like, should we go up to the flight deck? And Pollux is like, no! No, we should not.
Not immediately.
Procedure is go to the armory first.
Yeah.
We don't know what's out there. We need to defend ourselves just in case.
Get armed.
And so everybody meets in the armory.
Yeah. Everybody, in fact, meets in the armory.
Yep.
So everybody knew to follow procedure in this moment.
Hooray!
Pollux realizes that she is unfortunately now the ranking officer on board.
Yes. Being the highest ranked one now in the armory.
Yeah. Now, I had earlier posited that she was a non-com because she has rank of sergeant.
Right.
It's still possible that she has seniority. It is also possible that the United Space Corps has a different ranking structure that I'm just unfamiliar with. And sergeant is, in fact, a commissioned position in this particular structure.
Totally legit.
Hard to say. Don't know for sure. But however it falls, Pollux has found herself in charge.
Yes.
Because the captain is unaccounted for, the pilot is unaccounted for, and Sorrel is unaccounted for. We also find out who the other officers are in this moment, who are still on board the ship. Pollux is an officer.
Yep.
Osric is an officer.
We already knew that.
Valda is an officer.
Yep.
Gayla is an officer.
Right.
And Neil is an officer.
Yes.
But he's pretty low on the chain.
Well, yeah. He's the lowest of officers because he's the chef.
He's like a staff officer.
Yeah, basically.
Everybody else on board is basically an ensign who's just a working stiff. So Pollux is like, here's what we're going to do. Everybody grab yourself a laser gun.
And she starts checking them and handing them out.
She's also very itchy. Like, Reyna notices a couple times that she's scratching pretty hard. And it seems like her rash is spreading, too.
Could be.
Yeah, hard to say. But at any rate, everybody needs to get armed. Pollux hands out laser guns to everyone and breaks them into two teams and is like, all right, here's how we're going to do it. Myself and the other senior officers, so Gayla, Valda, and Osric, we're all going to head up to the flight deck, figure out what's going on up there. The rest of you go with Neil back to the galley and barricade yourselves in until we get there. Basically, just create a defensible position, watch out for any aliens, zap them in the face if they show up.
Yeah. And realistically, the galley is the best place to do that because I'm guessing that's where most of their safety supplies are. There's food.
There's food, yeah.
Right?
Water.
It is barricadable. It's probably designed that way.
Quite probably.
Right? So if they need to hole up on their ship and find a safe space, the galley's the best place to do it.
It might also be one of the most spacious places on the ship.
Room
and therefore,
for
room for everybody. Because Reyna even mentions that the armory gets pretty cramped once everybody gets in there.
Yeah.
So
it's basically a weapons locker, right?
Yeah. Then our teams split off from one another. Morvan does take an opportunity to be a jerk because he can't help himself before Raina follows.
He's like the jerkier version of Bill Paxton's character in Aliens, right? He's all like vim and vigor and yeah, let's go shoot the bad guys. Until it falls apart and he realizes, oh, I'm not actually a ranking officer. I'm a lowly ensign. And then it just deflates him and he's got nothing.
His attitude is weird because he's possessive and protective of Raina, but she doesn't want that. And rightly so.
And rightly so.
And he's, yeah, it's a complicated situation.
He's got
issues.
Like a weird macho complex.
Yeah, and he tries to brush it off as, oh, you just forgot your gun and I was going to tell you. But like, he was... the way I read it, he was going to do that whole, like, oh, you stick with me and I'll protect you thing.
Ugh.
And, I mean, unwanted and read the room, buddy. Like, yeah. It reads to me as him being possessive. Which, actually, having said those words out loud, I have a theory. And we're going to get back to it later. We're going to put a little pin in it now.
All right.
And I'm going to go fishing for the key to the accusing parlor.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I think we might finally... be ready to dust off the door and light up the fire and go sit on the plush upholstery by the chiming grandfather clock in the accusing parlor. But we'll get there. Hold on.
One more thing before we cut back to Pollux, our last little bit with Raina. She realizes that Pollux didn't hand her any guns and she needs to collect some of her own. She just grabs two and heads out.
Yeah, no harm in taking a spare.
But she didn't check anything.
No, she didn't.
So what are the odds that she grabbed two empty and or broken space rifles?
I mean, coin toss at this juncture.
Just something I noticed. Wanted to point it out.
Yeah, she also ends up behind the rest of the group.
Well, yeah, because they've already headed out and she had to have this weird argument with Morvan.
Yeah. Actually, for a moment, alone in the armory, she enjoys the blissful silence. There's not a Morvan there being a jerk. There's not an Osric there yelling at her. It's just like a brief moment of respite to herself.
Yeah. Everything is safe and quiet for just a moment.
Well, maybe not safe. And that's the thing that spurs her really into motion is the fact that there could be an alien creeping around somewhere.
Yeah.
And so she needs to hoof it. But just for a moment, she's like, oh, it's nice.
Just for a little bit. It was peaceful and quiet.
We then cut to Pollux and the officers heading up to the flight deck.
Yes.
And I mean... we already know what they're encountering on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sorrel largely experienced it on
the way. We've read about it twice now.
Yeah, and of course, they're met with the grisly scene on the bridge.
Yeah.
Now with four bodies, because Sorrel is indeed dead,
mm-hmm.
having been killed very promptly by the monster.
Scott pointed out something that I also noticed immediately after he'd read the chapter and mentioned it earlier, is that Sorrel is now in the same state as the other corpses, but it has been... a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it's been minutes.
Yeah.
And he's also been largely hollowed out. So either the monster is making alien babies very quickly, or we are wrong about that, and it's just very efficient at eating.
Yeah. Or it's just real hungry.
Hoovering up soft tissues, yeah. Either way, Sorrel is also now off the table.
Yes.
Pollux is lamenting the situation that she's finding herself in, because now definitely she's in charge. Like, it's not just speculative at this point. She is now officially the ranking officer. And she's like, I'm a botanist.
Yeah.
I'm a scientist. I'm not a soldier.
Yeah, not a soldier, not a captain, not trained for this.
No.
Not paid for this. And here's where I want to talk about Pollux. I genuinely feel for her right now. This is the worst it could possibly be for her.
Oh, yeah, for
I
sure.
I think. She's still got this horrible rash.
Yeah, she's sick.
She's still got this terrible headache. She's now in charge, which she is...
She feels ill-suited to.
Yes. She is unprepared for and does not want.
Yeah.
Right? This is the worst. And now she's looking at the situation and going, well, we're all boned.
Kinda, yeah. She doesn't outright say it, but...
she thinks it real loud.
She does. And she can tell that everybody else in the room is thinking it too. Osric, Valda, and Gayla also are very aware... that there were only two people on board the ship who could fly the ship.
And they're both dead.
And those were the pilot, Davenport, and the captain. They might be able to autopilot back to port, but nobody knows how to actually get the ship docked.
Well, and they're not allowed to go back to port now anyway.
No, not without the foreign biological dealt with.
Right?
Because they can't risk spreading it to a starbase or to a planet.
Yes, exactly.
It has to be contained, even if it means that they're doomed.
Yeah, they sure as heck can't take this thing back to Earth.
No, and they're all very aware of this fact.
Oh, yes. I am confident that Pollux told Osric to clean up the bodies on purpose. Confident. She's like, yep, the jerk gets the worst job. I'm in charge. Like, A, there are some things she knows she has to do, right?
Yeah.
They had to check some instruments. They had to download the tracking, all that stuff that they were doing. But she's like, yep, the worst job is these gross bodies need to move. Osric, get on that.
Well, here's the other thing. Janitorial services on a starship would also fall under maintenance.
Yep.
So if something needs cleaned up in that moment, that's literally Osric's job.
Yeah.
So also, she doesn't think he's really good at much. So she actually thinks on the bridge at one moment. She recognizes how hot it's getting, and we know that the alien is in the vents, and that's probably contributing to the problem. But she also thinks to herself, like, the vents should never have broken down to this level. Like, this is our life support. It behooves the maintenance chief to be on top of this, and Osric is so bad at his job that it's gotten to this point. And I am definitely going to report him to our bosses when we get back to port.
Well, we talked about it last chapter.
Because he should be fired.
Yeah, he's clearly bad at his job.
Yeah, as much as he keeps berating his ensigns at being bad at their job, the fact is he's actually worse.
Yeah.
So.
There is a moment in here where she berates herself, and she says, get it together, Polly, which means she has a nickname. Because you confirmed it with me that her name is Pollux Tate.
Yes.
Which means Pollux is her first name, which means Polly is her nickname, which is neat because I honestly didn't think she had any friends.
Well, at the very least, her family has a nickname for
her. Well, okay, that's fair enough. It's something I was considering about Pollux as we read through this chapter, and I was really feeling like what a horrible situation she's in.
Yep.
And based on the conversation we had last episode about her and just what she's like, I don't know that she has any women friends.
But certainly not on board.
I don't think she has any at all.
It's quite possible.
I'm not sure she has any friends at all.
Well, I think that's a stretch. We don't know what her life is outside of the starship.
It's true. Anyway, just a thing I noticed. She called herself Polly. And one more thing occurred to me. After I had made it through this chapter, is it possible that the alien needs the heat?
Possible.
So let's just humor me for a minute. Let's just say that the alien needs the heat to survive, which is why it's so hot on this ship.
Mm-hmm.
That means that Osric is either the murderer or the patsy. If he's the murderer and this alien is his murder weapon, that means he has purposely let it get super hot in there so that the alien can function and go around and kill people.
Yeah, one has to assume that an alien wolf thing probably doesn't know how to work the starship.
Right?
Yeah.
Just guessing. Or he's the patsy and someone is taking advantage of the fact that he is so bad at his job and let it get super hot in there to maybe shoulder some of the blame.
All right. Well, how about I just usher you into the accusing parlor at this
point? Oh, is now the time?
Well, you're basically accusing someone, so.
Oh, I suppose I am. All right, to the accusing parlor.
I've gathered you all here in the accusing parlor.
J'accuse.
Make yourselves comfortable, listeners, here in our accusing parlor.
Let's take off some of these dust sheets.
Now, I was talking earlier about Morvan's weird kind of moment where he tries to be gallant with Reyna. And having heard those words come out of my mouth, and I realize that even just last chapter I said, doing murders is a weird way to win back your girlfriend. That said, Ensign Morvan, j'accuse!
Do you think he's doing murders to win back his girlfriend?
I think it's possible that he wanted to engineer a dangerous situation to make himself look like a hero for her. And that maybe it's just gotten out of control very quickly.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Now, this is based on very scant evidence. This is absolutely an irresponsible accusation.
Yes, but that's what we do best when encountered with a mystery.
Well, indeed. And we're 6 chapters in and haven't accused anybody of being a murderer. So the time is now.
Yeah, so here we go.
Yeah. That is my preliminary theory, is that I was incorrect when I said, this is a really stupid idea. No one would do this. No, it is a really stupid idea, and Morvan would do this.
Maybe. Which would make Osric his patsy.
He smuggled a dangerous monster on board. to be able to be a hero and win back Reyna, and it has just very quickly spiraled out of control.
And his monster is clearly too dangerous.
Because it's now killed and eaten four people.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. We have not enough evidence to support it, but we also don't have enough evidence to refute it.
Indeed.
So there we go.
Yeah. And again, I'm willing to bet that Morvan is a very obvious bad guy because he is a big bully. He is the abusive ex-boyfriend. It's very easy to pin things on him just based off of that. So I could be wildly off base, but it's possible.
It's absolutely possible. We don't know enough yet to say no.
Yeah. And I mean, what are the main motivations for murder? We've discussed this in previous episodes. The main motivations for murder are generally love and money.
Yeah. Passion and profit.
That's right. And while there might not be much profit in doing murders on a starship, passion's a pretty good motivation. And the one guy who has the most passion that we know of right now, Morvan.
Morvan. Yes.
I'm not saying the good type of passion.
No.
I want to underscore that.
No. Passion in the broad definition of it.
Yeah.
Which is simply being very worked up in a moment.
Indeed. So, there you go. Just putting that out there. Putting that out there early. If I'm right, I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm probably wrong.
Probably. But, yeah. We're frequently wrong.
Anyway, perhaps we'll get some more clues as to what's going on.
Yes.
As the hunt begins for a foreign biological.
Yes. The action has started. Here we go.
That will involve reading up on Chapter 7, which you'll want to do in time for next week. In the meantime, there's events going on as we move into event season here in Edmonton and in Calgary and elsewhere. And there is one particular event that Anita is about to tell you all about.
This episode of The Read Along is brought to you by InVentures, your front row seat to what's next. Register now for InVentures 2022, where you can learn, share, and be inspired by the startups, entrepreneurs, investors, and global thought leaders who are redefining the future. InVentures runs June 1st to 3rd in Calgary and online, featuring more than 150 sessions, over 250 speakers, international keynotes, expert panels, startup pitch events, networking opportunities, and more. Reserve your pass now at inventurescanada.com. That's InVentures Canada.com.
Yeah, InVentures, an opportunity to see what people are coming up with.
Yeah, it's like AdVentures, but innovation. I see what they did there.
Yeah. You can learn more about that and other supporters of the Alberta Podcast Network right now at albertapodcastnetwork.com. While you're there, there's going to be other podcasts worth your time.
Absolutely. A veritable catalog of everything.
You can find them on your podcatcher of choice. That's probably also where you're catching our pod.
Yeah.
Give us a little rating and review. That would help us out.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it.
We'd also appreciate interacting with you online.
Absolutely. We have a collection of social medias at your disposal. We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Goodreads, because we bookish that way. We are at The Read Along on most of those.
Yeah. You can also reach us via email.
Yes, we are thereadalong@gmail.com.
And with that said, as always, we love you very much, and we'll see you next time.
For exciting space things!
Thank you for joining us on The Read Along with your hosts, Anita and Scott Bourgeois, a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network. All Read Along music is by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Cover art is by Aaron Beaver. Be sure to join us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Read Along, and check out our group on Goodreads.com.